Hello, everybody, and surprise, surprise, ideas, the Ideas Band is back in town again. The band has got together again. I'm sure that you thought you'd heard the last of us last July, but as they say, it's an ill wind that blows nobody good, and one of the things that has come from the ill wind of the collapse in the value of the Naira is that we're able to do five more programmes, and we thought that the right thing to do would be to say, well, look, a year out from the national elections that we held last year, what has been the integrity, democracy, ethics and accountability quotient of the government in the year since? And so we're here to take a bit of a census or an overview of what's been happening in five critical areas. That's security, the economy, the judiciary, elections, and then the behavior of our politicians. But we're going to start off with the issue of security, and it's very much on topic. It's very much on everybody's mind right now. But we're not just looking at are we secure or are we not secure. We want to look at the, as I said, the ideas quotient, the integrity, democracy, ethics and accountability aspect. And to help me look at that, I've got two guests, one here in the studio and one way across the water. Yemi Adamolekun of Enough is Enough Nigeria. I hope you're with us here. Hello, Yemi. And my other guest is Mande Ojoun of Semepia Africa. As it happens that both Yemi and Mande are members of the Bring Back Our Girls, or they participate in the Bring Back Our Girls sit-outs. And as you know, Bring Back Our Girls is about security. It's about accountability. It's about what happened when 276 schoolgirls were abducted from their school in April 2014, what's happened to them, and why have things not improved since then? At least in those days, the abductions were supposed to be for some kind of ideological issue. But now, the abductions are for ordinary money. What is happening? Yemi?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Yemi. Yeah. Now, I want to ask you, Yemi, one of the things I should say is that Enough is Enough was very much involved in the End SARS demands and so on. And one of the, I guess that issue was about police brutality. And the question is that, is police brutality a price that we are having to pay if we want to be properly policed?
Sorry, could you repeat that? Is police brutality...
Is police brutality a price that we have to pay if we want to be properly policed and to be secure?
Not at all. I mean, nobody has the right to profile me because of either where I work or what's on my head in terms of my hairstyle. And if you believe I've committed an offense, then give me the opportunity to defend myself. So, I mean, brutality is just arresting people. Brutality is extortion. Why should extortion be a price to pay for expecting security? And if the context is the fact that the police officers are indirectly complaining of their welfare and the inability of government to ensure that they have proper standard of living, that they are due wages for the work that they do. I mean, in fairness, they do take on risk on behalf of citizens, but that doesn't give you the right to brutalize me. And we see the kind of reverse. Police officers are lobbying to be attached to VIPs because you are not doing any policing really. You're just kind of having an elevated lifestyle. You go around with them, you have access to some of the things they do. You certainly get paid better. So definitely, brutality is not the price to pay for policing. Not at all.
Yeah, cool.
I mean, not to say that it's peculiar to Nigeria. I mean, a country like the US struggles with it. But then again, as someone says, the culture and the context of policing sometimes makes that's inevitable in the way police officers are socialized, but certainly not a price to pay.
So Monday, do you, I mean, if we should not have to pay the price of competence and security in order to be rid of police brutality. Why do we think that the police is seems to be doing so much worse with regard to our security, or is that brutality just a cover for their incompetence?
I think that incompetence is one of the challenges we are facing in Nigeria police force, and extortion leads to brutality when you refuse to comply with them. So any Nigeria police should make sure that they prosecute any police who brutalize citizens, right from the lowest rank to the highest rank. And they should be trained properly, and police should know their rights and their limits and how to treat citizens. And their welfare is very, very important, because you cannot give somebody a gun and expect him to be hungry. So if you go to Ije barracks, you see where police people are living. It's very, very wrong. And those things must put into consideration if Nigeria police force will change their behavior.
Yemi, one of the demands of, or among the many demands of the Enough is Enough protests was for some form of efficient policing. What have we seen in terms of smart policing? It is very unfortunate that in the wake of the NSARS protests, there were riots that led to the burning down of some of Lagos State's forensic capacity. But is it not essential that if we are going to really be secure, we expect our police to have that forensic capacity, so that it's not just a matter of arresting one person or the other and parading them or not parading them or announcing that they've been arrested, but actually getting them convicted and sentenced?
Well, certainly. I mean, when people commit criminal acts, and not just people burning buildings, also our politicians that steal money and kind of rape the country daily. If people continue to do that and there are no consequences, it will continue. I mean, there's really just no other way. And it's human behavior. It's about everything. It's about policing. It's about a child that behaves badly. It's about someone at work that does something egregious but doesn't get punished. People respond to, there's an English word for the lack of consequences.
Impunity.
That escapes me at the moment. Well, people respond to that. Impunity, exactly.
Yeah.
People respond to impunity. So if that's what we have, it would show up in every facet of society when we don't obey the rule of law. I mean, it's just, and that's what we have created. Our politicians have created it. And so when other arms of government, from legislature, policing, the judiciary, everybody is behaving anyhow, as we like to say it in Nigeria terminology, this is what we get.
Yeah, and Monday, when we see people behaving anyhow and getting away with things, it's perhaps that we don't really make the connection between the misbehavior of the people at the top and the consequences when those further down the food chain decide that, if they are going to enjoy it, we too are going to enjoy it. And take to whatever they need to do in order to get the same type of benefits that they see others enjoying. Do we feel that our government, because we hear these expressions, tough on crime, tough on the causes of crime, is our government really understanding the link between what they do, or what individuals in government do, and the causes that make other people think that banditry and kidnapping are viable life choices?
Yes. One thing is that we cannot expect a good outcome where our leaders are living in luxury and leverage our money unnecessarily, and those who are implementing the policies of government are living in poverty. So governments at all levels should plan the welfare of those who are implementing the law in any area, so that themselves will also enjoy the dividend of democracy.
But the criminals too say that it's not just the people who are enforcing the law. The criminals too say that we too want to enjoy. And we're not getting it. We want to send our children to nice schools. We don't have money. So we have to get the money to do that. Shouldn't they also, isn't there a link between them, not just the people who are enforcing the law, but the people who are at the receiving end of the law?
Yes. Government should provide the enabling environment for business to move on as supposed to be, so that it will curb people going to kidnapping, banditry, and other things, and people, youth will be employed. So when once all those infrastructures are in place, it will reduce crime. But when once they are not there at all, in crime will be on increase on daily basis. Just like some people prefer to join Boko Haram because of the benefit they will get, than to be to engage in a normal business. So government should do what it's supposed to do, so that there will be job creation, like electricity. There is no electricity. Many companies are moving out of Nigeria. So naira value, everything is not working as it ought to work, as it works in other countries. So our government should fix our country so that by doing that, it will reduce crime.
Okay. Now, Yemi, our government, the president recently said that that the security situation in Nigeria is better than in many other countries. And if we look at the raw figures, we can certainly see that there are more kidnappings in other countries. But does that make a difference? Because while in other countries, the criminals who are doing kidnapping and so on are doing it very much in a secretive way and trying to keep their activities silent, in our country, it seems as if the criminals come with a lot of bombast and, in huge groups, and they don't just kidnap one person, they kidnap huge numbers of people and carry them away. Are we, and this started, this is not, the Chibok girls were not the start of it, but didn't we miss a chance when we allowed the Chibok girls to remain in captivity? And up till now, nobody has accounted for the 90 or so who remain in captivity, or has even been honest about how the ones who had come out, who were actually released because of negotiation, whether there was money paid or not, or whether it, and showed that it was a booming business for kidnappers.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Well, my question was that are the Chibok going? When Monday mentioned the Chibok girls, it's a question of: did we miss a beat? Did we miss a chance to nip this problem of insecurity in the bud when we did not? The government did not react quickly enough.
Well, certainly not just quickly enough at the time that it happened 10 years ago. But also subsequently in the 10 years in between. Mm. Like nobody, I think it's, what's his name, this senator, not Ndume, the Borno guy, Ali Modi Sharif, when people who were named with affiliations to Boko Haram, who were named in affiliations with what happened in Chibok, nothing has happened. So it's the same thing I mentioned earlier about impunity. Mm. When people are not punished for their crimes, of course people get emboldened. Mm. People get kidnapped. Jonathan said he knows members of Boko Haram in his government. Nothing happened. Buhari talked about it in his government. Nothing happened. So why should people lesser in the value chain of kidnapping and corruption and abduction change their patterns of behavior if, in a sense, they have senior people from the military to people in positions of power in government covering for them? There's no incentive to do anything differently.
Well, Yemi, we've tried to look at this matter. We're coming. We were.